I mean, retail therapy is great and all, but returns can take the fun right out of it. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Marielle Segarra, in for Molly Wood. In this pandemic, we are shopping online way, way more than we ever have. And sometimes we want to return the things we buy, which can be a hassle, what with shipping and restocking fees and printing out return labels with the printers we definitely all have at home. This holiday season, some retailers are trying to make returns easier, like employees at Simon Malls will process returns for brands like Levi's and Gap, so all you have to do is go to a mall kiosk with your item and a QR code. But as annoying as online returns can be for us, they might be worse for the retailers. Sucharita Kadali is a retail analyst at Forrester. She says when you return something you bought online, it usually goes back to a warehouse, and then the retailer has to decide what to do with it.
And either it will go to potentially what we call jobbers who buy the merchandise for cents on the dollar, or it could get destroyed if it's not in resaleable condition. The other scenario is that if it actually is in resaleable condition, they need to think about whether they're going to mark it down or whether they're going to sell it, put it back on the shelf at full price.
It sounds like a lot of decisions to make.
A lot of decisions, and that's why over the years there's been a lot of return software that's been created to try to keep track of all this stuff and try to create some consistency around the process.
And does that software work? Can software make these kinds of decisions about should we accept this sweater back and should we resell it or destroy it or whatever?
To some degree, I mean, there's some information that software can provide. It can let you know how much of the inventory is actually still being sold. It can tell you, is it a really hot item? And it's highly likely that there's a good chance that it could sell again at full price if you were to put it on the shelf. But there's still a level of human interaction that's necessary. I mean, somebody has to inspect the merchandise and assess whether it's been worn or, you know, is there a stain on it or is the tag missing? Because all of that can impact things like it, the resaleability and the salvageability of that merchandise.
So it sounds like accepting online returns that are mailed back to you as a retailer, that sounds like a pretty expensive process.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's expensive to ship, and then it's, you know, kind of equally more expensive to return because you could, you know, kind of not only do you have to pay for the shipping back, which many retailers often do, but then, you know, kind of you could be losing the salvageability if it's not in resaleable condition. So that's why some of the, I would say the stingiest retailers often don't pay for return shipping because they are trying to dissuade you from returning altogether. And others may even charge like a restocking fee in addition to, you know, kind of making you pay for return shipping to really, really discourage you from returning that merchandise.
I mean, it sounds like retailers have really been trying to figure this out, to hack this process, right, and make returns easier for them and for us, and also cheaper for them. Are there any other ways they're doing that or ways they're using technology to do it?
Well, I mean, the cheapest return is the return that never happens, right? So having more accurate sizing charts, having more accurate photography, the closer that you can be to what the actual product is and simulate the lighting and the coloring so that it actually looks like what's shipped, that's the ideal. And that can reduce returns too. One of the number one reasons that people return either clothing or home goods, anything kind of aesthetic, is typically because the item was not pictured as what was ultimately sent.
The things that you mentioned that retailers are doing on their websites to try to give customers a better sense of a product before they buy, do you think that that'll work this year, that it'll at least help keep the number of returns down?
Well, one, the type of merchandise has changed. It's to much more casual wear to start with. So that kind of merchandise is, you know, kind of it's easier to fit than, you know, kind of work wear or, you know, kind of dress shoes. So that's something that is in the favor of apparel merchants in particular to start with. And then on top of that, if you do put in more photographs, more accurate photography, you focus on your sizing charts and the accuracy of your sizing charts. You're collecting ratings and reviews from customers that are giving their comments on the size and fit of the merchandise. All of that is good, and it doesn't hurt sales, and it doesn't hurt the accuracy of the information that you're providing. So I do think that it should help managing returns, even though e-commerce has grown.
Have you been buying a lot of stuff this year online and returning it?
I've actually bought so little online this year. I mean, a lot of what I would normally buy is probably like workwear, because I used to travel a lot and go to a lot of meetings, and all of that is gone. And I don't need 50 pairs of leggings. I already have a dozen.
Sucharita Kadali is a retail analyst at Forrester. Oh, and a tip for anyone who's shopping for her this holiday season. She says she could use some socks. And now for some related links. Sucharita and I talked about how the kinds of clothing people are wearing these days, sweatpants and leggings, are a bit more forgiving and thus less likely to lead to returns. Turns out that even goes for jeans. According to the retail analytics firm Edited, the number of styles of denim featuring elastic waistbands jumped by 35% between September and October. Try as they might, retailers may not be able to keep returns down this year. Because, well, a lot of us can't or don't want to go to stores right now. And certain things you really do need to try on, like a winter coat or a pair of boots. In fact, in a recent survey from Narvar, a company that processes online returns, 62% of people admit to bracketing this year. Yes, there's a word for that thing where you preemptively buy multiple sizes of the same item, just in case, with the intention of returning most of them. Guilty as charged. That's a 50% increase from just a few years ago. We have a link to their findings at our website, marketplacetech.org. Narvar, by the way, is partnering with Simon Property Group to process all those returns at its mall kiosks. There are several companies that say they can help retailers deal with this whole returns mess. Because online returns are so expensive and so important that a whole industry has cropped up around them. I'm Marielle Segarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.